Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and I'm so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I have to work on that music transition. It ends very quickly, so I'm going to work on that. So I know your time is very valuable, so I'm very grateful that you have chosen to spend it here with us. So I want to give you a little backstory on where this podcast was born. It was born from the mission of my company, which is called I Am Creative. And the mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and to empower adults, especially, to realize and own their talents, which come in so many different forms. So here in the space, I get to talk to so many inspiring people that have jobs, interests, and hobbies that vary in so many different ways. I've spoken to biologists, actress, recovering perfectionist, lawyer, and so many more. And we all have the same conversation in the sense that revolves and starts around the same three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So I have invited my guest, but I don't see her entering the space. So I am going to invite her again, and then I will give you the bio and tell you who she is. So this is the beauty of being live. So as people jump on, please tell me where you are. Oh, good. There she is. Wonderful. So Angela is entering the studio. So Angela, if you could please press the call in or connect button, and that will bring you into the space. And you're here just in perfect timing because I am going to read your bio. So Angela, you made it in.
Hi.
Yay. Good. Perfect timing. So I'm just about to read your bio. So, as I said, in this space, I get to talk to so many incredibly inspiring people. So my inspiring guest for today is Angela Shim. And Angela is passionate about growing wellness communities guided by the principles of connect, create, and collaborate. She envisions this beautiful world where together everyone thrives. And her role as a wellness business strategist and as a core vitality and purpose alignment coach, Angela helps heart-centered wellness coaches and change makers access greater vitality, clarity, and freedom by strategically aligning their unique wisdom with wellness resources and educational platforms that amplify their impact and reach. And what I'm so excited to talk to Angela about and so impressed with is her, she has such a well-rounded background and story with her. She comes from many years within the corporate management area and then brings all of this knowledge into this to truly get this holistic approach. So I'm really excited to talk to you. So welcome to the space, Angela.
Well, glad to be here, Hollis.
So thank you. So is there anything that you would like to add to the bio before we jump into our first question?
No, it's all good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, so I have started this would you rather question using that as a little icebreaker. So Angela, your question for today is, would you rather put a stop to war or end world hunger?
I would like to put a stop to war. I think there's a lot of creative solutions towards hunger and how that represents. The thing is, when we can start to see each other as being all connected and one, creative solutions will come from that. And I think creating a global community that I envision where we can openly share resources and not see that if there's more for me, that means it's less for you. The true meaning of one. I think lots of world answers, including hunger, could be solved.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful answer. That really, yeah, because it's kind of like, I don't know, which came first, chicken or the egg? It's kind of like, if you stop world hunger, then would maybe people stop fighting? Because people would, you know, wouldn't feel like they have to fight for, you know, because of all the nutritional parts and all how it makes you feel and all this stuff. And then all the beautiful things that you just said. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just honoring everyone where they are, right? I think there's such inequality in our world. And we're blessed to live in a part of the world where there's really a plenty. And even in the midst of COVID and other things, like if we pay attention to the things that we have and let just look at so many parts of the world where there's inequalities, and when we see that that's just another brother or sister of ours in the global universe, like perhaps we would look at solving problems differently.
Yeah, it's you just made me think, and then we'll dive into the first question. You know, how big but how small the world really is. I remember when a friend of mine went in high school, just out of high school anyway, she was in Israel, so all the way on the other side of the world, and she was in a space and all of a sudden looked across and saw somebody from high school. So all the way from the States, you know, all the way from the States, from, you know, we grew up in right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And here she was in Israel, and she looked across and she's like, Duran, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, well, the same thing happened to me and my husband. We took a trip to Ireland. We won that trip, actually. And one of the things I always wanted to, places I wanted to visit was Stonehenge. And then also that whole area of Glastonbury, Salisbury, it's just magical places. And wouldn't you know that we'd be walking down Glastonbury, like on a Sunday morning, there's hardly anybody, it's really lovely small town, and way across coming from the other end, I'm looking and the person's coming into view, and turns out she's a psychologist that one of my colleagues works with her technology, and it's all about fractals and sacred geometry. I'm all into this energy sort of stuff. So even though I had not met her individually, I sort of recognize her at a level, like, and then we just connect, and she's from California, I'm from Canada, okay? So it's like, what are the odds of two souls meeting each other in the middle of some third country, and then we end up getting together for dinner? Like, so I just love those little magical moments where the synchronicities happen.
Yeah, it's that right place, right time, literally. Yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so this is going to be good. Okay, so Angela, let's start with the first question, which is, how do you define creativity?
Well, to me, creativity, it's looking at situations with almost like new eyes. I work a lot with energy, so I said, you know, if you could see the world through energy eyes versus our human eyes, and maybe some of the answers that can come maybe look differently. And I think I love how children can always look at something. You know, you can look at, you know, I just came up from the kitchen, a spatula, right? There's one of the companies I've worked with that really exudes creativity, called Frontier Trainings, was they got us doing, working, playing games, taking everyday objects and marketing them in brand new ways. It's like really stretching our minds and our feelings and our money as to, well, what could this be? And it was just so fun because it's like going back to being a child and looking at something as, they don't know. I mean, if no one's educated person, or especially even if we're looking at, well, things of different cultures, right? We just make assumptions that that thing, it's what the world collectively agree it is. Yeah. But what if it could be something else? And right. So to me, it's that idea of being able to see something differently, and then being playful and having the freedom to unleash that imagination and the ideas to make the impossible possible.
Love that. Make impossible possible. Yeah, because as you were talking, I was thinking immediately, like, imagination. That's so much of the whole childlike aspect, but it's so important within everything that we do, within business, within formation of anything as adults, to have our imagination, which so often gets so shut down because it's considered childish and all of that. But you have to, that's how anything was created.
Exactly. I mean, if we look at the same solution, a problem with the same eyes, I forget what the quote is. I mean, you always go back in the same path. However, it just takes someone. Like, and I'm passionate about supporting highly sensitive young people. And sometimes when someone looks at someone who's has Asperger's or autism, and they may see them as that, you know, they have some type of challenge. However, I see it that they just look at life very differently, and they respond to the energy world in a very different way. And isn't that possibly a gift, that we could see life from a different lens?
Exactly. And it's kind of like what I heard in when you just said that, is like getting past the labels that we that we put on, you know, like, since you mentioned Asperger's, or, you know, if that person is on the spectrum, then they do things this kind of way, and they're doing that because they're autistic. It's like, well, yeah, but they're incredibly highly sensitive, and they're seeing things in this way that you never would have thought of. And they're actually speaking their mind. If they don't want to talk to you, then they'll say, I don't want to talk to you. Or, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
It's a perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we just really allow that self-expression of all the differences that we all are, that it's just not like that we have to fall into some mold. So to me, that's creativity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's breaking out of that mold. There is no box. There is no boundary.
There is no box. Yes. Anything is possible. Yeah, and I love what you said about energy eyes. That's just, that really stuck with me. It's just, I don't know, it's pretty beautiful to look through the energy eyes. In understanding it, it's kind of like the world of energy. It's because, you know, I do Reiki and all of that. And when people are always like, you know, what is that? And in explaining it, it's just, and I don't always know if I'm saying it correctly, but it's just, you know, we're all energy. And when energy gets blocked, it creates something that's not comfortable. So it's a matter of getting that energy flowing and moving.
Yes, totally. I just attended an event recently with the Winter Solstice, and it was Global Consciousness Day, and there were a panel of scientists, quantum scientists, and also spiritual leaders, who would really look, and it was wonderful to be able to look at sometimes when it's just when there's something that we don't understand or we can't see it, sometimes people are afraid of it and may reject whatever the ideas that they may be. And it could be applied to anything, right? But when we start to understand that it's actually proven through these random generators and the powers of our thoughts and our intention that we could actually change the outcome of things, and that the universe is truly connected. And we can understand that concept. We would not look at the other person or things as though, ooh, you know, like, you're bringing this to the table. And if we could look at it from the deliciousness of, well, that's just another perspective. And how could we look at a different way of embracing it? Anyway, I ramble on. Yeah, I loved exploring those types of topics.
That's not random. It's not rambling at all. It's Yeah, and having the conversation. I mean, I totally agree. It's people actually being able to, you know, in a perfect world, listen to each other and understand that not everybody's going to think like you do, and they shouldn't think like you do, because you want variety. You don't want everybody being the same. But it's people being tolerant. Yeah. But it's people being tolerant of each other. And
yes,
agree to disagree, or, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of what's coming to mind off of that.
Well, and I think, you know, when we can put all the great minds together, that's where creativity can arise, right? It's just like I think, you know, I work a lot with crystals, and it's like all the different facets of a crystal that can shine in its own way and its brilliance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the power of the collective, like, oh, it just gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
So tell us about the crystals. Like, what do you do with the crystals?
Well, I've worked with some level mineral crystals, and I have devices like amethyst, biomat. So mineral crystals come from the earth, and they have the intelligence of history that's kind of in the way how the rocks, you know, are kind of form over millions of years. And then I have these amazing crystals that I work with from Germany. They're called lithios. That's LITIOS, light crystals. Mm-hmm. And the best way I could describe them is when I was introduced to them in 2012, I call them the iPhone for the light, because mm-hmm. they're actually glass or cubic zirconia objects, whether they're in spheres or they're in pendants, and they're infused with the energies of higher beings. I mean, it would take a whole conversation to get into it, but it's just the idea that we have more friends than we give ourselves credit for, and there are beings out there who are really here to want us to bring out the brilliance of who we are, and to remember that we are crystalline-like beings in a human body. And when we can fully align and integrate with that experience, like, really magic can happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking it in. Yeah. I'm like, it is a whole conversation in that. But I like what you said. It just kind of stuck with me there on the crystals and the formation of the crystals, and I don't know them, how they form over time. And it's like them holding stories. It's not something that's created yes. right away. It's something that takes time. Like, as people, it takes time to shape us. It takes time to, and from my perspective, you know, we're always learning. We're always growing. But it takes time.
Well, and the idea that there's multiple facets. So I guess sometimes it's only in my later years that I was sort of on this journey to explore all my other aspects. Whereas when you're growing up, and I grew up in Hong Kong and mm-hmm. came to Canada when I was 9 years old. So a lot of my upbringing was more traditional, you know, study, do well at school, apply. That's the reason why my family immigrated from Hong Kong to Canada for a better mm-hmm. education for us. And yet there inside of me, there was this yearning, like, I actually enjoy the artistic interest, but I always had this part that I wasn't looking to pursue it as a career or anything mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. I loved books and novels, and I thought I was going to be a language teacher. And then little things to say that the best way I could describe it is, I think my head kicked in and kind of sideswiped my heart, because I ended up with a business degree and I became a management accountant. Now, on hindsight, those tools are really valuable. However, my heart was just singing when I discovered the world of wellness, and when I could actually merge what I was really meant to do, which is teach, and being able to apply it to a topic that I'm truly passionate about, like I just find that, you know, I was truly coming alive. And I said, geez, do I need 25 years to come to that point? and so my message to many young people always is follow your heart and find a way to connect the dots where what you love to do and your what you're really good at and a way for you to carry that message into the world, that to find that sweet spot of success in an authentic way. That's what's going to push you through any type of challenges, because you're just in the flow of being alive and being, you know, of service of the talent that you're meant to serve in this world.
Mm-hmm. And that whole part, like you mentioned in the beginning, that 25 years that you did do of business, you needed to get through that in order to be like, it's that whole contrast thing. Because if you didn't go through it, and sure, it could have been shorter in time frame and all that before you got into the wellness and found what really lit you up. But you brought all this experience with you and all that in order to get to this point. So, which is,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think universe usually has a better plan than we try to figure it out.
Right.
And if we could just allow that to evolve, because now I love it that I could be the bridge for wellness practitioners who wants to serve, and yet, you know, may think that business or marketing or all those things feels icky that in the world, whereas it's really just a vehicle help us get our message out there and to put in the infrastructure that we can expand in ways beyond our imagination, right? So they all came for the perfect reason.
Yeah, that's a great word, infrastructure. So it's like you have to build the bones, you have to build the armature in order to then, you know, because that's what's going to hold it up, or else it's just going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Or else whatever right. It is, you know, whatever you could have this great idea and be like, oh, I have this great idea, and then just, it's not that you have to sit and think it through, you can act on it. But if you don't build something in order to then get to that point, a lot of times, I don't know, my experience, it'll be like a fly by night kind of thing, because you didn't take the time to really nurture it and build it.
Yeah. And imagine that you have something that you love to do, and you can really align it as your life purpose and create a system that will outlive you, that becomes a legacy that continues to serve over and over again. That's what I love to see.
Mm-hmm. So I am so happy for the people that have joined in live. So for the people that are here, please feel free to ask any questions, put in the chat box, any comments, whatever. It's great to have you here. We really appreciate it. So, okay, Angela. So let's move on to question number two, which we kind of touched on, but how do you actually incorporate creativity into your own life?
For me, it's about processing being in my body more. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, we can be much in our thoughts, and I'm very much an emoting type of person, and learning things of movement, having that contrast between movement and stillness, and enjoying that experience of where your mind just becomes, actually it's about letting go of the mind, really. Because when I meditate with these light crystals, and it's just, we're being a clear channel to allow whatever the insights would come. I used to think that I didn't understand fully what intuition really meant. And I have friends who were like clairvoyant or clairaudient, and I would just kind of like, wow, geez, you know, I'd like to be like that. And what I didn't realize was, for me, my sensory perceptions are more like being sentient. and I could, or cognizant, I could sense ideas or the potential of people before they could see it for themselves. And sometimes words like would flow off my mouth to say, you know, I think this could be a good possibility for you. And then people say, like, where are you? Like, I don't see it for me. And then when I start really owning, oh, that's the download that's coming for me to that other person, that they haven't seen the possibility of their light self for them yet, themselves yet, except I sensed it at some level, and I can't describe it in any physical term, but it was just like I said, okay. So I started owning, well, okay, that's my superpower. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So you can feel, so did you say sentient? Is that what you use, the word you use?
Yeah, I don't know. It's somewhere between sentient or cognizant. As I always, like, I love to brainstorm, and I would have these bright ideas. Yeah, that I would be sharing with my team, my community, my husband. And, you know, when they're looking from their rational mind, it's kind of like, a curveball. Or it's not what they see themselves, because they're looking at it from a very linear way. Yeah. Whereas I just can't even explain where that idea comes from. Or this possibility. I just have this sense of something, you know, that's possible that hasn't been created yet.
Yeah. It's people being really aware of, it's just so amazing. And I love the word downloads. It's like you literally do. You get these downloads and you don't know where they're coming from. And then the person could be like, either, how did you know that about me? Or, huh, it really gets them to think, doesn't it?
Now I realize it.
But now that the words are out there, it's like, huh.
And now I realize that I guess the more when you pay attention to certain things, then you get more and more occurrence of those. And then I start being open and exploring to all the energized aspects of myself or in others. Like I would be in a room and we would have a conversation. And then whatever was coming down, like both person, like me and the other person, we would get this goosebump, you know, it's like this energy just running through us. And we say, okay, we're on the right track. We don't even know what that track is, but we're on that right track. and it's really fun to allow that you don't know where it's going. Like, and I think that's also part of the creativity. Is that when I was talking about exploring new grounds, you just know that there is something at the other end, but you don't know what it is. And it doesn't have to be a straight line. So it, you know, it could be all kinds of curves and up and down. And then just allowing the flow of the energy to take you to all these various experiences that at some point, you know, that light bulb moment would go on and say, oh, wow, you know, that's what all this is all about. I mean, in my case, it was like 18 years of piecing together all kinds of puzzles that I just said yes to intuitively. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea how it was all coming together until the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's what I meant to do. But I was gathering all the puzzle pieces, all the way through.
Yeah. So since we're, kind of on this topic and I'm thinking about it. So a lot of this also started, you said, or you became more open. I don't know. You can tell me if this is true with your son. When he was born, there were some issues there. Is that when this kind of started also putting on a light for you, shining a light?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I was pregnant with our son. I was about 34 or so at a time. And it was our firstborn. I mean, I had a bit of challenge getting pregnant even to begin with, but notwithstanding that, I thought, wow, you know, like our first experience. And I just went through like every other pregnant woman thinking that things would, like I would taking care of myself. Notwithstanding, like I was called to stay in the hospital from about 25 weeks gestation with a condition that the doctors call toxemia. So I don't know if anybody in the audience have ever heard of that term. I certainly did not know what that was, or preeclampsia, the medical term. Yeah. And I had no idea what the consequences were. I was just told, do not pass go, go directly to the hospital and stay on bed rest. I thought I was going on holidays. I didn't really take it all that seriously. The long story short version was I ended up being ambulanced, sent by ambulance from my suburban hospital to the downtown hospital because my situation was getting worse, no better. And eventually I had an emergency cesarean section and I woke up on a respirator with the collapsed lung and some blood clots. And our son was 5'4 below in neonatal intensive care. I was so sick, I could not visit him for a week. So that was my pregnancy experience. And then I said, what the heck happened? Pregnancy was easy. So because I come from a systems background in finance, and when our son was presented with all kinds of food and environmental sensitivity, asthma, eczema, and at those early days, I just kind of followed along with the conventional medical wisdom, at which point I started to realize, well, they're not looking at the root cause and they just keep telling me to follow this process and it wasn't getting any better. So I made it my commitment to go find the root cause. And that journey led me from the physical, mental, emotional, metaphysical, because I just kept asking why. And then a teacher would show up and another piece of information, all those pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. I say to people, I live toxicity firsthand. I know what it feels like. I know how it can affect someone. And that informs my mission and purpose to help bring that awareness to the world that we don't have to live that way. There are possible ways to transform our that experience. That I had to live through it to know. You know, it's kind of like embody what that feels like.
Right. Wow. That is a pretty intense story. And so in your journey through all of this, so you brought your son home, you know, you did the traditional thing. Then you're like, this isn't working. I want to get to, like, what was the time frame in that? In you realizing that you were like, no, this isn't happening. I need to get to the root cause. And your teachers, I know, were showing up. It was kind of being presented, but what was the time frame?
Well, our son's 28 years old. Mm-hmm. I started when he was a toddler baby, from cradle cap to asthma. He held food and he wouldn't swallow. He had severe eczema. He had asthma. He was undergrowth. He was already a preemie. He was a little over 2 pounds when he was born. Mm-hmm. And then here was like the practitioners who at that time, because I wasn't in the wellness field at that time, I just said, okay, you know, can you help our son gain weight? Like I remember I had an incident where he was being assessed at the children's hospital here locally, and they told me to put butter and fat in his baby food. Uh-huh. Now that I'm a nutritionist, it's so wrong.
You're like, what?
Because, well, the whole thing was like, now that I'm able to look at things with another different set of eyes from the eyes of wellness,
right?
His prematurity, his immune compromise, his gut was compromised and all this stuff. And yeah, it was just crazy. And then the turning point, like basically we had him on corticosteroids and prednisone and puffers. And the turning point was around when he was about 8 years old. And his skin was about this, that looked wrinkled and like I had to sweep skin all over the bed. He was bleeding all over all the time, and it was just miserable. And my heart was just broken. And I remember taking him to the premier hospital locally. I said, certainly the dermatology clinic must have the answers. And I was told, Mrs. Shim, by a resident before the specialist came, he said, We don't know the cause. We have no cure. All we can do is to manage the symptom. And the real kicker, which was the straw that broke the camel's back for me, because I started on the wellness part, you know, partially already, was, oh, you're lucky your son's not terminal. Oh, I said, what the audacity could someone say that they have no idea of the pain and struggle that the parent, like, I could not sleep. I mean, it was stressed all the time. And I said, that's it. I ripped up the prescriptions, and I was already half a foot into the wellness side. And I said, well, there's no going back. I'm committed to finding the answers, whatever it's going to take. And that's what eventually led me to create the Ho Child Network. It's a grassroots nonprofit resource support network, because I made a commitment that if I was going to find the answers, I was going to help other families shorten their path.
Mm-hmm. Whew. It really does. It just takes your breath away when you hear certain things. It's like, really? You're a professional and this is what you're saying? Well, you're lucky. You're lucky that it's not this extreme. Instead of talking to you in a way where it's acknowledging what you guys are going through and the situation, and creating more connection.
Well, and I think, you know, like, now with hindsight, and I say it's just, you know, in it from a loving place, in that we want to educate everyone. And a lot of times it's just, they don't know what they don't know. It's looking from, I call it, it's the effect of the blind man and the elephant, because everyone was looking at my child from the, you know, it's, oh, there's a trunk, here's the tail. And no one was looking at it from the holistic perspective. And that's why when I journey through that process, and I said, well, this information is available to all of us, and I want to get that message out there, that we can be empowered to find the answers. And we use the resources in the right time, in the right place, so that they can truly help us at that time. And really, it's about taking personal responsibility back. Like, so for me, I think that was the part when I truly felt free. And I said, no, I'm going to find my answers. And I think when you put that intention out in the universe, all kinds of teachers came. And I was just open explore the next level. It's kind of like playing Super Mario or whatever level. Our son is he's a game developer. He's an entrepreneur. And it's like, there's always, you don't know where it's all going to go.
Right.
It's just like each layer, when you're solved, it was all about external environmental toxins and nutrition. But then very quickly, once I solved that, I actually watched our son heal from head to toe. It took about 2 years to totally clear the eczema, because we changed the environment of the food. We cleared out every single toxins that was in our home. Mm-hmm. And I saw the sheen grow back in his hair. I saw the skin. So learning in that way, and this is before I decided to go back to school to study nutrition and energy medicine, all of those things. And I said, as a mom, like, that's why a lot of times when I'm talking to moms, I said, you have your superpower of observation. Mm-hmm. Do not ever underestimate that power, because that was told to me from a naturopath who was very kind, that I was on search of, you know, paying hundreds of dollars for this allergy test and that thing. And he says, no, you as a mom would know more than any doctor, because you're spending 24/7. So just really get attuned to the power of observation of all the ins and outs. And that was such an empowering advice that he gave to me, that didn't feel that I had to have, you know, this degree of this license. It's just really learning experientially. And it's just been amazing.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I remember with our firstborn, he had a lot of issues too. There was a lot of hospital visits for breathing stuff. And we were in New York at the time, and that this doctor's office was amazing, because he was a general doctor. And then they also had a chiropractor, a person who worked with essential oils, and one other person, I'm forgetting, like under the same umbrella. So you could kind of go to any one of those people depending on what was going on. And I remember he said to me, he was just amazing. And he said to me, because I was like, am I being crazy? Because, you know, we had all these hospital visits and everything. And he's like, no. He's like, every time your intuition is like right on. So just be aware of that and pay attention to it, because he's like, you haven't been wrong yet. It is, so, you know, acknowledge it and own it. And that is, it's really empowering. You could have a doctor that would be like, you're a hypochondriac, you're being crazy. But when someone within that status is saying, yeah, no, you are doing the right thing, you're doing the best that you can, you're like, ah, you can kind of breathe.
Yeah, the mother's intuition is so powerful. There's this energy connection, really, because some of the techniques that I've learned energy-wise, like that I was able to be a facilitator channeling in to support healing some of the issues of our son. And it was just being, and it was guided by one of my teachers. And I said, really? I could do that? And he said, you have no idea the power of the woman's womb. Like in terms, and it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what opened my eyes. Like each teacher just showed me another area of possibility that we could step into, that we're just more than our physical body.
Yeah, because when you were saying the word transform before too, I mean, that's what so much of this is about. It's you believe it and like really stepping into it. Like that was your point when you just finally got to, you heard what these people were saying and you were like, no, this is like, I am like a butterfly and I am just stepping into my power and owning it. It's just pretty beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm pretty happy about that. And now, and when I decided to leave my corporate life when I was 48, I actually went back to school back then. I'm almost 63. And I happily report my age because I said, hey, I'm having the time of my life. I feel like I'm a kid in the candy store. The world is full of possibilities. Yeah. And I just wish that the reason why we do what we do is just to help more people release the burdens that might have come upon them through life experiences or subconsciously, that we really don't have to hang on to all that stuff. Like, and we can be free, truly free to express our highest potential. And that's just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It feels so good. feels so good. And there's going to be people that are going to say, and it's true, well, I have this responsibility, I have that responsibility. And it doesn't take away from the things that we're taking care of, but it's the way that you approach it. And totally. It's your mindset. It really does. I mean, I completely understand what you're saying. When I decided to leave the classroom, as much as I'm teaching in a different way. But in stepping away from that, I know that I'm happier in with my family and the way I interact with them. In the way that I interact with everything, it feels lighter.
Yes. Well, it's like you create your own possibilities, isn't it? And an understanding that there's a teacher aspect in all of us. When someone is, because I work with mentoring other entrepreneurs and practitioners, and so like whatever we've just learned previously from our personal experience, now we have that ability to teach based on lived experience, right? And it doesn't have to come from, you know, whatever certificate or books. Like if you love doing all that, and I've had my share of all these learnings, but it's just really how you choose to use it. And I think a lot of what I love to do is to show people how much power they really have and never, you know, let someone take that power away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we covered a lot in this, but with the second question of how you incorporate creativity into your life, Do you want to add anything else, things that you do for fun or for relaxation? I know that you started off by saying by processing and being in your body more and meditating. Do you like traveling? Do you like reading? Do you like cooking?
Oh, yeah. Well,
our two favorite things are, for those who know us, are travel and food. Like, I often said, oh, I love food. Food just didn't always love me back. And I just really learned about the quality of different foods. But also the thing that we love to do, we've been traveling to San Diego for 13 years now. I mentioned earlier, this company called Frontier Trainings, they teach business and entrepreneurship through role-playing games. And when I met the founder back in 2007, mm-hmm. I was thinking that our teenage son would really love this because he was into games. And the founder, he was facilitating these huge 850 people games on business concepts. And I thought that was so creative. And anyway, so we made it our family education, vacation, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. to travel to California. And in that space, we have the freedom to lose our being the way how we see it. Like, we've been in games where we become the rock star, or we're in this stage where we are, you know, like making a proposal to the pharaoh or doing origami and presenting it to the Japanese emperor. I could just list on and on. We had so much fun. Wow. And I thought, geez, it brought in the creativity for our business. Because each time I said, well, I go back there to recharge myself. And I was really shy when I was, in my younger days. And because of all that, we said, oh, I think we should go and take an improv class. We should do other things that we've never really imagined that was possible, just because a door opened.
Right, right. As you were explaining that, I was like, well, you're acting. You're bringing in this, you're losing your identity of yourself, you know, Angela, and you're taking on another identity. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's just like experiencing, you know, it's just like when we're talking about the crystal. There was one course I remember that we did. It was so fun. And it was called Transbeing. It's like you step into 12 different archetypes of you as a speaker, but there are roles that in some part, some of the more traditional facilitator, executive type roles, but then you get into the magician, the pirate, the fairy, the jester, channeler. Oh, it was just like 12 different archetypes. It was just, and we do that in costume. So it was just like, oh, it's hilarious. And it was just such a transformative experience for me. And so when you talk about creativity, yeah, I think of that.
Yeah.
And it was just like getting into aspects that would otherwise, like, you know, what creates perturbation is in the language of the training, it's what's going to create the breakthrough, right? And every time when I'm in that space, I'm thinking about, okay, what can I do possibly that I can change things up in the home or change things in my business? And it's just so freeing. I think freedom is the best word that I can come up with.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of like this, I don't know, within a business sense, I kind of see the problem solving aspects. It's like you're on your toes. It's that whole improv part of thinking how to fall into that character, how to make something sellable, how to make something interesting and fun and appealing. And that's really, I really want to hear more about this place.
Oh, it's incredible. And yeah, we look forward to embedding some of that gaming aspects into some of the training programs we do, because when you can actually live through that experience and like it's some better way to anchor in the learning than just really talking about it or listening to it. It's very kinesthetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which in understanding, I totally understand that. And I'm guessing you're that way too. I really need to, I need to feel it. I need to experience it and move to really get it. The sitting and talking to me about it, I'll get parts of that, but I need to have the action with it to like fully sink in.
Well, and we incorporate essential oils in our business a lot. And what's wonderful, like I call essential oil to me, I call it the palette for creative expression. Mm-hmm. It's like, what would you want to create with the oils? It's a different experience because it goes directly to the brain, the amygdala part for the emotional layers. And it just, you know, it's kind of like speed dial into directly connect, making that emotional connection. And it's just so powerful. I love it.
Yeah. Whew, so many components to it. So let's move into question number three, because we're getting close to the top of the hour. This time has gone by quickly. So to sum it up, basically, so why is creativity even important?
I think it's actually in our human nature. And it's just, I think, something that we're really born with, although some people think, you know, I can't be creative. It's like, well, if we think back in the caveman days, how did they come up with that there's fire, right? And it's just that ability to explore all the different possibilities. And I think, especially during these transitional times, it will serve us well. And it's critical for us to be creative, to look at the situation from a different set of eyes, and to look not from the place of challenge, but from the place of possibility.
Yeah. Getting back to that whole, I love that energy eyes. I'm writing down what you said because it's so beautiful. Critical to look at with a different set of eyes. Yeah, to all of our people listening, so happy that you're here. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box. We would love to hear from you. So, this has been a lot of great information, Angela. I am so, so happy that you have taken the time to talk and share all of your excitement and energy with us, because it definitely is coming through the radio waves here. You were so kind to offer, put out a free offer to people listening. So could you please tell them about what you wanted to be able to offer?
Sure. Well, one is related to food. As we mentioned, it's our favorite pastime. And from our son's food sensitivity is my husband, actually, who decided, geez, you know, food needs to be first delicious and nutritious. And then it's got to be easy. So he's got two ebooks on healthy recipes, one to work with the ancient einkorn wheat and the other one working with essential oils and food, which is a glorious experience that, you know, for anyone interested, I'd love to share more. And then the second one was really around getting some insight in what's going on in your body, whether it's from the energetic, like the level of energy, from emotional or functional. It's a wellness scan that I can send by email if someone wants to put in the information for the request. And I think that's what I was grateful for from my journey, was that my eyes were wide open and I was able to find some of these tools that are really practical to bridge the gap of awareness, where people can become empowered when they have awareness. So those are the two gifts we wanted to bring for a beautiful new year.
Love that. That is so kind of you, Angela. Thank you so much. I will include all that information in the bio and everything of the podcast. And Angela, can you tell people also how they can connect with you?
Like certainly. Our website, we have a community called HeartSense Wellness that we run, and you can go to essentialoilsnaturesgift.com, and you can reach us from there.
Great.
And we have some of our Facebook links, I think, as well in there.
Good. So all of that's within that one space?
Yes.
Okay, great. So yeah, so again, all that information will be in there. And Yeah. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Angela, again, for taking this hour, and everybody joining in. So grateful, because I know time is very important. And yeah, this is all about inspiring each other, connecting and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share. And this week is a very busy week. I have another podcast tomorrow, Wednesday, actually New Year's Eve morning, New Year's Day, and Sunday. So it's very active week. Very active week. So yeah, so please check them out. And yeah, again, just so grateful. And I look forward, just wishing everybody a happy and healthy new year. So Angela, I'm looking forward to connecting really soon again too. Thank you so much.
No, and thank you so much, Charlotte, for inviting me. I've just had a great time.
Thank you. Me too. My brain is just kind of like, whoo, all this information. I just kind of have to process it all. So, okay, everybody.
Yes.
So happy, whatever time of day it is in your part of the world. Happy evening, morning, afternoon. So we'll talk really soon.
All right.
Okay. Bye,
Enjoy,
everybody.
Everyone.